Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Just to be very specific, I do not think that this will be his last year with the Cowboys at all. Am I being psychotic relative to Mamera? No. I mean, it's pretty clear, I think. I want to say it if it hadn't been clear, of how much we appreciate what Dak Prescott has meant to this team in a positive way. And the players do play better when he's out there. He does make his teammates play at a higher level. There's no question about it.
Jerry Jones. All right. He's talking about Dak.
They'll pay him, right?
Of course.
Who's more likely to be paid before the season, Dak or Tua? Tua?
That's a good question.
Will they let Dak play out the final year of his contract?
There was another comment from Stephen Jones who said, you know, the reason the Vikings are able to pay Justin Jefferson $35 million is because they don't have a lot of other expensive players, which is A, not true, and B, not how the cap works. Do you know how many $20 million contracts the Eagles have? It's like six.
Yeah.
The cap is huge. You can pay a quarterback $55 million and still field a totally fine team. This idea, it's almost like the owners and GMs want you to think the cap is such an it levels the playing field is what it does. It makes it hard to keep great teams together. And it makes hard decisions a reality. But the idea that, we're the Cowboys. I mean, we can't sign a quarterback. We can't sign CeeDee Lamb to big money because we have other contracts. Okay, we'll get better at it then. Figure it out. Anyway, CeeDee Lamb. If CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk hit the and T. Higgins hit the market next year, let's go.
How many of the three will make it? Can I get one?
Ayuk will make it.
To the market?
He will.
He'll play out the year not getting paid.
He will. The Niners just drafted Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. And
yes.
And Shanahan.
But isn't the idea that they'll move on from Debo before they lose Ayuk?
Maybe. But Debo, I don't know.
Miami, to me, what's interesting now is if Tua's not going to practice without a contract, doesn't that mean he's not going to play? Without a new contract? Like, if he's – or does it mean they're close?
Yeah.
Like, what does him not practicing mean? Because I said the other day, if I'm Miami, if what I would want to do is have him play out the year, see how it goes, maybe even tag him after that, and let me kind of go year by year here would be the best-case scenario if I'm the Dolphins. But if he's not going to practice without a contract, like, you kind of have to make your decision now, don't you? You have to tell him one way or the other, hey, if we're not doing it, We're not. We want to play out the year. We're closing negotiations. Like, to me, other than that, I guess it seems like they'll get that done before the season, because otherwise Mike White is going to get first-team reps for the rest of training camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see what happens today, because Wednesday he practiced some. I
thought
there
were like two passes.
Oh, that was it?
It wasn't a lot.
Okay.
Meanwhile, just quickly on this, we're waiting on Sean McDermott. He's going to join us in about a few minutes.
We'll
see him walking over in a minute. Ja'Marr Chase, he's played 3 years.
Yes.
And receivers have become quarterbacks that sign after 3 years. And he has a salary this year of $1 million something. Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
The Bengals owner saying we're not going to pay him. That's the kind of thing that, say what you will, the entire league thinks your team is run by a fool.
Yes. And thinks you're cheap.
Yep. If you're going to make Ja'Marr Chase wait it out for a new contract and say we're not going to pay him, that is going to hurt you as an organization and your ability to get any player to.
Yep.
And it doesn't even make sense. The Bengals just buck their own trend. They just gave Trey Hendrickson a raise because he outplayed his contract.
They did.
They signed him to the defensive end, and then they just were like, you know what, here's a new contract that's more money because you're so good, and they're not going to do that for Ja'Marr Chase?
But what I wonder is, and Hendrickson, by the way, that was last offseason that he got that?
Yeah.
This offseason, he wanted another one and asked for a trade. He's still there. But, like, I wonder if that Hendrickson thing last year was the Bengals were all the way over here on the spectrum of being conservative with player contracts, like all the way over here on the right, and where teams are starting to go is like all the way over here on the left, and they did move, but they're still so far on that side of the spectrum that they didn't actually do that much to catch up to how other leagues are operating or other teams are. This was Pittsburgh a couple years ago too, wasn't it?
Right. Pittsburgh would not. What was it?
They wouldn't give guaranteed money.
In year two. Right.
But then they moved. They said, okay.
I have to.
TJ Watt, if we got to do it, we're going to do it.
It's fun to have all these policies, and then when you realize you're falling behind. I mean, the Bills used to have a policy of not renegotiating a deal if a guy wasn't in the final year. That's why they traded Jason Peters.
Right. But the Bengals, I mean, now that you have Joe Burrow and he's paid and he's locked up, like how can you look him in the face and let everything crumble around him?
Right. They probably won't.
How can you even risk making Ja'Marr Chase unhappy?
Well, that's half the point about Chase. If you're not going to let him leave, don't.
What's the point of waiting?
What's the point of introducing animosity? Why make it rough? And, I mean, the general consensus is if you sign it now, it'll be less money than if you sign it in a year. Anyway, there's the Bengals for you.
This is why I don't think they're going to lose Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be a Bengal.
Me too.
But what I do think it says, or what it rightfully can have you think, is that team, that owner, is not going to keep it together. That they are, if you think they right now are as big a threat as the Chiefs are, if Burrow's healthy, then to me, I think it's right to think within a couple of years, it's very possible they start to fall down a little bit, because if they have good players, they're not going to be able to maintain them. I mean, even if they keep Chase, does anybody think right now that they're on their way to keeping T. Higgins?
No.
And what has partially made them so good for the last couple of seasons was not only did they have two good receivers, they had three good receivers.
They're about to have another. I mean, Jermaine Burton.
Jermaine Burton looks like he might be pretty good.
Yeah.
But if Boyd's already gone, he aged out a little bit, and if you're about to lose Higgins on top of that, like suddenly, what's really the strength of your team around Joe Burrow? Like if you're not going to pour the assets into your club, I just don't know how you can think you're going to keep up with the Kansas Cities of the world.
803-0550, waiting on Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We expect to sit down with him for a few minutes here as he gets ready and takes the team out for day three of training camp here at St. John Fisher. Beautiful day. Sun is shining. Not too hot. It is going to be hot next week. 90s. We're looking like 90s next week, but beautiful day here. Other around-the-league news, like the Cowboys – headlines, the Bengals, some headlines, some hold-ins.
I saw some Lions reporters freaking out over how big Jameson Williams looks.
Okay.
Like, he's bulked up, I guess, from last year to this year, and he's being trusted to be their number two now. So, that was a guy I loved, by the way, in the draft a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't, He hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah,
he has played.
We were hoping he fell far enough in the draft for the Bills to snag him, and then he goes too high to Detroit.
And in hindsight,
it's not really gone well for Detroit. I mean,
he can't stay on the field.
Right.
And he got suspended for
gambling. Yep.
So, yeah, right. Like, you're going – that would be a strange feeling. Imagine if the Bills had done that and the career had gone exactly as it's gone. We would have felt great in the moment of, hey, wide receiver train, they did it, they drafted Jameson Williams. And here we go into year three, and does anybody have any clue how good he is?
Yeah, not really.
Zero idea. He might be great. He might be terrible. We have no clue.
You casually, and it's not strange to do this, referred to Miami as having the best receiver tandem in the league. And I started thinking, do I want to just immediately agree they have the best two? Because, I just don't know yet. Like, if Adunze is great, then DJ Moore, Rome Adunze is in contention. But it's too early for that. I'm not saying that yet.
They might have the best trio right now.
Okay. But who is the best pair? You know.
Well, you know the immediate pair I think of that I would. The next team in my mind for that would be Philadelphia.
A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith.
Yes. I think those two are both incredible receivers.
Yep.
Houston?
Tank Dell, Nico Collins is legit.
Oh, I was even thinking Diggs and Nico Collins, but it might be Tank Dell.
Those two are so good, Dell and Collins, that if you say Diggs is three, I don't even think it's an insult. Yeah. Like, you might think, oh, he's a three there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
I just think maybe I'm getting too infatuated with just the speed element, because the Waddle Hill speed element is the thing that is just. Nobody matches that.
Right.
Like, even Brown and Smith are amazing players. I mean, Brown is a force, and Smith is like a route-running freak. But, I mean, they're not 4-2 speed guys like Miami has. And then the Niners would be worthy of mention here, too, right?
I guess. I don't think Debo is. I mean, that's carried by Ayuk.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk is carrying that. Debo almost has, like, the. Up until maybe the last 6 months, Debo got more recognition than Ayuk, but Ayuk is the guy. Like, he's legit.
Yeah.
Bulldog, when I was off on leave, I heard Bulldog do a show. Would you trade a first-round pick and sign Ayuk to 4 years, $120 million? What do you think my answer to that is? I'll walk barefoot to San Francisco to do that. But whatever, that's for next year. This year, we'll see how this – but that's the one thing about this group of receivers here is, however it plays out, if it goes well, which it very well could – we'll have a better idea if we want another one of what kind of one they need. Like, you might have Coleman looking great in the slot, and Shakir is also a really nice, solid possession receiver, and the Claypool MVS role didn't hit the same way. So we're talking about a second-round vertical speed guy. All of a sudden,
that would be the role looking at it right now, wouldn't it, that you would project?
You might. All of a sudden, we're talking – Xavier Worthy is the spice to add into this team, or Troy Franklin, or, you know, one of the over-the-top guys. Whereas going into this draft, it was kind of like anything. Yeah. You need everything at the position. And they went with the big catch radius Coleman.
Well, there's also how good the group could be to fend off that conversation entirely. I mean, if Coleman has 1,000 yards or has, you know, if he's an offensive rookie of the year contender, and Samuel is as close to Debo Samuel light as it gets,
he's very. You don't even mean light as in like a diet version, but he's actually much smaller.
Yeah,
than Debo Samuel.
He is smaller. He plays a similar role and style.
He looks small out there because the Bills receivers are so big.
I also feel like he looks small out there because he wears the number one.
That might be true.
Is that fair? I do like him wearing the number one.
Let's get an offensive lineman in a one.
Offensive lineman wearing number
one. Can a fullback wear number one? Let's do that.
Melvin Ingram wore number six for Miami the last couple years, and it was the weirdest looking thing ever because it looked like it made him look. I don't even know how it made him look. I couldn't even describe it.
Well,
it
six is just objectively a bad number.
But
so
for a defensive end, especially, it was.
Six is bad. Nine is good. Taylor Rapp is wearing nine.
But anyways, I wonder if this receiving core, this is the best case scenario, could be so good this year that we're just not even, we're going in next year thinking they don't need to address it. They're fine.
You kind of can't do that because let's say it's great. I've got Coleman, Shakir, Samuel. I'm still going to need my MVS replacement.
But that's your fourth? Like,
sure,
if your top three are solidified.
But that's an easy draft, a guy, because now I've only got Samuel with 2 years left on his deal. What they need to do...
Well, I mean... So,
hold on. Not to make this all receiver talk all the time. They need to do the thing that they didn't do for Diggs, which is start the process of finding the next one while you still have one. They did the cold chop start over.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of layer it in the same way that they do, you know, a lot of teams do a lot of positions.
Yeah. To me, though, like, that could bring about, like, an investment, like, some middle draft pick or, like, another MVS, a couple million bucks, you know, here or there. Like, what I mean, what I'm talking about is, like, what keeps away the Ayuk conversation? What keeps away the T. Higgins conversation?
All right, Bills head coach Sean McDermott approaching our table. We're going to get him set up right here and talk to the Bills head coach. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. Coverage of St. John Fisher is presented by Edmar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. Brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott joining us here at St. John Fisher. Another beautiful morning. You guys are like, the weather's perfect so far.
The weather is perfect, which it normally is in Western New York.
Yeah.
This time of year in particular. So we are fired up to have another day in front of us and get going here.
Yeah. This camp for you, I mean, is it any, you've been through a lot of these. Do they change year to year? Is it the same routine? Does it feel different each year?
It's a lot the same. The approach is very similar year to year. I think when you go, if you were to go camp to camp, you'd see a similar approach, quite honestly. But it does change year to year because the team changes, the faces change a little bit, or a lot bit this year. And so we're excited about the opportunity in front of us. Excited to be here in Rochester, in particular in Pittsford, and get a chance to connect and engage with our fans on almost a daily basis here.
Going away to St. John Fisher, you've been doing it for many years now. Has your opinion changed about going away to camp since you started as coach? Because now it just feels like you guys are, you know, loving it, or like the value of it. You feel like you talk about it every year, how valuable it is to get away.
Yeah, well, that narrative that got put out there by, I don't know how it got out there when I first got here, about Sean McDermott not wanting to come to camp is absolutely 100% false. If anybody was driving this, it was me, and I hate even using that type of phrase, but damn it, I mean, that's the way it's been since day one of me wanting to come to camp and get away. I still believe in it like I did in 2017, and that's the facts.
You've got a new team, a lot of new changes this year, a lot of new leaders in this group. Wanted to ask you about, there was a report today about Josh Allen's leadership style, and there's a lot of different tentacles to this conversation. The idea that maybe he needs a different style of leadership, that the organization might want more from him, or a different way to be a franchise quarterback. That was in there, Tim Graham from The Athletic reporting that there's maybe a directive to get him to be less of one of the guys and more of a executive. Any thoughts, anything to share on Allen's style to this point, the maturation, the natural progression of a franchise quarterback, or anything related to that?
Yeah, I'll start with Terry's piece of that. That has never been a mandate from Terry, number one. And secondly, that's not his management style to begin with anyway. As it relates to Josh, Josh has been extraordinary in a lot of areas for this football team. Leadership, when you're young and you're learning how to lead, it continues to grow along the way. And look, we all have things we can improve on overall as a team, and that's where you really start, right? And so, and when you study leadership, that's an ongoing deal. And that's, I've been very impressed with how Josh has developed and continues to develop and be curious about leadership. And, but no, his leadership has been extraordinary on and off the field, and it will continue to grow as we move forward here.
Is it more critical for him on that front this year because you had so many captains that from last year that are out the door?
Yes, I would agree. I would 100% agree, and Josh knows that. And he really, to me, and this is what a leader does, he takes that responsibility head on, and I've seen that since the spring, the start of the spring, and then into the break, and now in the first just couple of days of training camp, the practices here that we've had, he's been phenomenal on the field, phenomenal with his intent to get on the same page with the offensive players.
When it comes to all the changes, you know, we mentioned this a lot. It's training camp. There's a lot of new faces. You guys have been together, of course, OTAs, mini camps, all that. So by now, is it not necessarily feeling like everybody's new. It's the new group is together and hit the ground running full speed once training camp begins?
Yeah, I would say yes. I would say yes, Jeremy, with the fact in the way of we're here. It's kind of like the doors are locked, and this is who we have, and this is what we're what we have to do to build this football team and get it to where it needs to be. There's a lot of work that needs to get done here, and then when we get back to Orchard Park, and you know all the way through the preseason of bringing this team together, onboarding these new players, young and some of the veterans that have joined us, to get used to how we do things, our systems, our schemes, and how we play specific to the Buffalo Bills.
New coordinators, I mean, Joe taking over first year full-time, Bobby Babich, you've talked about how you two will work the defense together. I wanted to ask you about the idea of bringing coaches along. Like, I think a lot of times people think about coaches bringing players along and that development process, but as a coach that's been a veteran for so long, you've got assistants rolling through and guys coming up. And what kind of process is that for you? How is it different from players to bring coaches up as they, you know, go from quarterback coach to coordinator to then they're getting interviews and they're out the door? It's not quite the same as a player, but I imagine there are parallels.
Well, and when you have success like we've had and been consistent with it, you lose staff members, and that's hard because you have to have someone in the pipeline, so to speak. And so that development, to your point, Jeremy, of developing our staff, coaching in the coaching business, it's called who's willing to coach their coaches, basically, right? So I fully believe in that, and in particular for the betterment of them and their careers, but also for the betterment of our team and building that alignment or being on the same page with Joe and Bobby and Matt Smiley, my main leadership group there with the coordinator group, is highly important to our success. If they're coaching it one way and it's not how I see it, we have those conversations or vice versa, so it's important.
Quickly on Matt Smiley, the new kickoff rule, is that exciting, stressful? I mean, it's...
All of the above.
No one knows what to expect, right? Yeah. Like, it's a totally new thing.
Yeah. No, it's all of the above. There's so much unknown, which I think leads to, you know, a little bit of angst on the coach's end and maybe a little bit of the player's end, but also maybe some excitement for the fan base. I think, you know, if the rule stays like it is currently written, there's going to be some teams that jump on this early and handle it the right way. And so for us, we have to do a little bit more or a lot more so that we're one of the teams that gets off to a good start with it and we don't underestimate the impact it's going to have.
Yeah, I've wondered about the stress on even the players learning it because, you know, there are different formations and schemes and whatnot, but these guys have been playing football their whole lives, but none of them, I would imagine, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't think any of your players were in the XFL. These guys haven't practiced this even, let alone played it in a game.
That's right. So we'll throw more at them in practice. We may even go live a little bit. I think I was asked a question a couple of days ago, and you don't love doing that necessarily, but it may be necessary in this case to get a full good look at it because preseason may not be that type of canvas when people are holding back what they're really planning to do.
A lot of talk about changes. Your secondary, I mean, big changes. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Trey White, three guys that were here for the longest time, worked so well together. A new group back there. Was it about trying to put something together with the same traits you saw in them way back when, or an evolving game, an evolving way to call defense? How did you start to build the secondary out in the post-Poyer-Hyde era?
You know, I believe I learned long ago coaching Brian Dawkins in Philadelphia that safeties are interchangeable, and that has stuck with me since those days. And so when we came here and brought in Jordan and Micah, that's some of what you saw, interchangeable as opposed to a true strong safety in the box and a true post safety, free safety in this case. And so, yeah, the traits are they don't change in terms of what we look for. The game has evolved, but I think we've been a little bit ahead of it, to be quite honest, in that regard with this position in particular. So, you know, we're happy with what we have. Certainly never easy to move on or lose those players, but super proud of them and the opportunities that some of them have gotten to this point, and always be keeping an eye on them. As it goes for us, you know, we have the challenge of bringing some new players, again, a veteran in Mike Edwards, some youth in Cole, and getting them up to speed as quickly as possible. Mike missed most of the spring, so those are critical reps that he missed. But you know, this is a critical time for Mike and all of our players.
Well, while we're on safety, we saw Damar Hamlin getting the opportunity on Wednesday. I wonder if you see a difference in him this year, maybe just because he had a more, I'd have to imagine, he had a more normal offseason than he would have had a year ago.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that first year, unique in a lot of ways. I mean, you go it's unique for an ACL. Like, when you come off that first year, coming off an ACL, let alone what Damar went through. And so now he's I think, getting back to being able to kind of just get back to himself, if that's even the right way to say it. So I'm super proud of him, grateful that he's okay, and I think his best football's ahead of him.
Linebacker Terrell Bernard had a great year last year, really kind of burst onto the scene, and did it with Matt Milano missing most of the year. The idea of the two of them together on the field?
Excited. Yeah, excited. Matt's got a long way to go, you know, coming back from that. That was a significant injury. Nobody works harder than Matt Milano, and he spent really the entire offseason in Buffalo, including the break over the summer, and he's committed. I mean, his mindset is elite, and that's part of the challenge, right, coming off an injury like that.
You say he's got a long way to go. You've got, you know, we've got Twitter doctors in the stands. Is it about managing? You guys are talking about managing him. They're watching every step, and, you know, I'm watching it too. Like, how's he look? Is it about getting him back to where he was? When you say he's got a long way to go to being that level of player, it's going to take a little time.
It is, and that's just natural. Listen, I know he wants to be back to square one again, and I want him back to square one. I've been assured by our training staff, Nate Bresky, that he'll get back there. It's just going to take some time. And patience and Sean McDermott don't really go in the same sentence. But in this case, I have just ultimate trust in our training staff and ultimate trust in Matt Milano.
How about Vaughn for this? Last year, you know, he's been talking about how he knew he wasn't right where he should be. And how about where he is now?
Yeah, similar situation, right? Now getting a year away from that first year off the injury. And I'm super excited for Vaughn because that opportunity that's in front of him to impact our defense, like maybe he wasn't able to physically last year. The thing I loved about last year was his mindset. He never really let himself maybe acknowledge that, how he was limited physically. And that, to me, just speaks to how elite he's been in his career and why he's been elite, because of his mindset has been so strong.
On the offensive side of the ball, obviously the receiver room with both Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs no longer being here. So I feel like there's more competition in the receiver room than ever, because in the past you've had, and this goes back to Beasley, Brown, et cetera, that you've had solidified veterans, and not that you don't have any veterans, but I don't know, does it feel like with some youth and players that are new to the scene that there's more competition in that room?
I wouldn't say more competition. I would say maybe a little bit more unknown, because when you lose a Gabe or a Steph, two great players, two great teammates that have been here and made a huge impact on this team, there's some newness, and so we have to figure out a lot more of what we have, and that'll continue through these practices. When we get into the preseason, those players are all going to play valuable snaps so that we can truly understand what we have. The worst thing we could do is get out of training camp and not truly understand what we have and then put them in the wrong positions as opposed to the right positions in game one.
Impressions of Curtis Samuel early on?
Yeah, utility type of player. You know, going against him, he's a little bit of a headache because you're not really sure what he's going to do, where he's going to line up. Just overall, Curtis getting on the same page with Josh and building that chemistry in the way we're going to use them will be critical for us.
Keon Coleman? I mean,
did you see the impression. Did you see the first day?
Yeah. Yeah, like foot control, body control.
Yeah.
I mean, highlight reel catches. That was him in college, right? And listening to Brandon talk about him back at minicamp about learning more diverse playbook or more, there's the process of becoming a pro. Is that really what Keon's looking at right now?
That's it. And they all do, just some more than others. And Keon's off to a really good start. I thought he had a solid spring, and Like I mentioned, the first day in that red zone period was pretty impressive for a new player, a young player like that, like Keon. And now we start to open it up in some of the open field, midfield situations, you'll see how we see him fitting into our offense. And he's going to go through normal rookie challenges. They all do. And so there'll be some highs, there'll be some lows. Us continuing to grow him professionally will be important.
I feel like every year when we arrive to the season or arrive to camp, you'll get questions about Josh Allen running the football. Is there any difference at all from past seasons with the attitude for the team overall with his ability to run and how much you want him running?
Yeah, I mean, it's a managed deal. Josh has grown over the years with his maturity and understanding what can happen if you're not responsible with it. And so we try and be responsible and manage it during the year, and then knowing that he's going to do some of that on his own, some of those quote-unquote loose plays and scramble plays and extending and whatnot. So, listen, the scramble rate in the NFL has grown every year the last few years, and we talk about that. It's a part of our game now. So it is what it is, and Josh is a big-time weapon when he does that, and I can tell you from a defensive standpoint that those coordinators that are going against him, they've got their work cut out having to deal with that.
Last thing for me, you guys are here for a couple of weeks. We're back at the Blue and Red a week from tonight, so
yep.
We're back at the stadium. Yep. You're following across the street closely? I mean, keeping an eye on the new big one going up? I mean, the new stadium is
it's getting taller by the day.
It's pretty tall. Yeah. What an undertaking,
yeah.
You know, the whole thing.
It's impressive. I mean, the work that gets done over there and how efficient they are. I had a chance in the spring to stop over there and share some lunch with some of the workers over there. I thought that was a great experience. And then I'm excited for Terry and Kim and then the same for our fan base. I mean, this is the excitement around that new stadium and the excitement around our football team is at an all-time high, and I'm especially excited for the future of the Buffalo Bills and the fan base and what they're going to be able to experience.
Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, we'll let you go to practice.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for your time, and best of luck this season. Bills head coach Sean McDermott here from St. John Fisher. Our thanks for the time. Our number is 803-0550 if you want to pop in with us for any moment of time. Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator, meeting with the media. That is wrapped up. We'll let Zach Jones play that during the Extra Point Show if Zach wants to do that. Quick impression, the biggest news item to come out of there?
Yeah.
I feel like there should be a tempering of expectations for Milano. Right?
I would agree.
I think there should
be
a little bit of a...
Yeah.
He's going to need some time. He might not
be... To get back to... He was an all-pro.
Right.
Like one of the five best linebackers in football, maybe. So,
and there's going to be a fear. This is not what the head coach said. A fear that he will be able to play but not the same.
Yeah.
And
You can – somewhere in between
– Vaughn?
Like
– and
better than that, you would think, because Vaughn couldn't do anything.
But I'm thinking Sam Cowart when he tore his Achilles – I mean, some guys.
What was Takiyo Spikes?
Takiyo Spikes came back and was not the same, but then got better after that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
but he was like a force before that.
Right. Yep. All right, we got to get a break in. Sorry, we're very, very late. We went late because of the head coach. Break time. 803-0550 on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Good
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, I'll start with Terry's piece of that. That has never been a mandate from Terry. Number one, and secondly, that's not his management style to begin with anyway. As it relates to Josh, Josh has been extraordinary in a lot of areas for this football team. Leadership, when you're young and you're learning how to lead, it continues to grow along the way. And look, we all have things we can improve on overall as a team, and that's where you really start, right? And so,
Phil's head coach Sean McDermott sitting down with us. That on the Tim Graham story about Josh Allen and his leadership style, and you heard McDermott right at the start there on that's not how Terry Pegula mandates, and that was a part of that piece. So that's McDermott on that reporting. So interesting. Missed that? On-demand audio, WGR550.com if you want to check it out. 13 teams in 13 days, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. We'll be rolling through some of the Bills' opponents, AFC contenders, over the next couple of weeks. So be sure to stay tuned for that. I mean, if we look at the Bills' schedule, I'm thinking about Houston the last couple of days. So Stephon Diggs, who we got into with McDermott about a little bit there. Diggs got into a skirmish fight. I don't know what it would qualify as. At Texans camp yesterday. Did you see the fight at Texans camp yesterday? Jimmy Ward basically
tried to wreck Diggs,
and then there was a fight thereafter. I was surprised I didn't see more terrible Bills Diggs takes after his Texans teammate tried to murder him.
Well, here's what I would say about this. If you're an offensive player,
yeah.
Like, there was a play, Kadarius Toney got lit up by George Karlaftis.
Yes. And then like, Travis Kelce went in there and yeah. got after Karlaftis.
Listen, if I'm an offensive player, I spend the year getting hit.
Yeah.
I'm on your team.
Right.
I know you like to hit guys. Don't take shots at me during practice. Like, I would very much come down on the side of every offensive player. Like, easy. Easy, buddy.
Yeah.
Knock somebody else out. I'm trying to get my work in here.
The Diggs hit, too, is like, Jimmy Ward is the player. Who, by the way, that's not like some fifth-round rookie trying to make a name for himself. Like, Jimmy Ward, how long has Jimmy Ward been in the league? This is his 10th year in the NFL. And you got a 10-year veteran that is flying through the air, like lowering the shoulder, head down a little bit, going at Diggs. And, I mean, right, I have no qualms at all about the Texans fighting after that happened offensively. I just think it's very weird that you have a 10-year safety that's, like, trying to take off the head of their team's big new acquisition.
Yep.
Houston, that is the week. Is that week 5 for the Bills?
Sure. All right, there you go. There's your
first of 13
featured teams. You know, 13's a little bit of a dirty number around here. Just saying. You don't say that number around here too much.
Maybe should we ban the number 13 after?
Hey, they do it in hotels. You know?
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550, if you want the phone number. Happy Friday. We're going to get a break in. Extendo Sports coming up on the way. Bobby Babich, he spoke with the media. We spoke with Sean McDermott, who said, who gave an answer to that idea that Terry Pegula has implored him and Bean to get more of a leadership style of Allen, less one of the guys, more of a leader. And you can hear that if you want. We'll play it throughout the morning to get the head coach's response. Jeremy and Joe here from St. John Fisher on WGR. Okay, we got to run. What were we going to say? We're going to say something. It was...
Congratulations to Aaron L. from Ransomville. He is our winner of our Friday foursome at Diamond Hawk Golf Course, plus a $25 Encore golf gift card and a box of Encore golf balls and a membership to Club Encore. Still more chances for you to win the Friday foursome. Head over to WGR550.com to enter.
All right. That wraps it for us this week. We're back Monday. Booking guests. This is the most planning I do in my entire life. Planning days in advance.
See, but this is so much easier, though, because people are just walking by like,
yeah.
Hey, Steve, you want to do Monday?
We're going like, to do Tasker next week. We're going to do Bove next week. I got to find Carl Jones out here. We got to get him on next week.
Yeah.
Bean, Joe Brady, Bobby Babich.
Pop in next week, too.
Maybe
it would be nice if Steve Mariucci just wanders by again.
That'd be nice.
That was fun.
That'd be nice. You know who's here today is Mike Robinson is here today.
Okay. NFL Network?
Yes, NFL Network's Mike Robinson. No, that was yesterday. No, next week, sorry. Next week, Cam Wolf, Kay Adams, Brian Baldinger. We got to get Baldy. We'll get him.
Yes.
He's good.
Baldy's breakdowns.
Him. Love him. The fam's here.
The fam is here.
The fam is here. All right, we got to go. All right, we'll be back Monday from training camp.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.